Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, it's like ABC Radio.
Well, because Toby's not here, so I thought I'd better be the sensible one. That's not going to last long, is it?
Well, it lasted that first sentence. So,
fabulous Adam Richard, outrageous Scott Brennan. The available Wes Snelling.
Eel.
And, Thomas Jasper.
Hi.
Wes is just relieved that it wasn't Wes Snelling.
Yeah. I've moved up a rank.
It is. It's so good. I'm sitting in Toby's chair.
Oh, you are sitting in Toby's chair. Yeah. Do you feel smarter?
No. Take a lot more than the chair, Tom.
Yeah. And well, Thomas, it's really uncomfortable because he's so fucking clenched and tied up. The seat of that chair has become a diamond.
I want to try and be Toby. Could I try and do Grunty for a second?
Go.
Ah, everyone's fucked.
That's pretty much it.
That's it. Yeah.
Can I paint the picture? Mm. Scott is wearing a suede t-shirt like he thinks it's still 1992.
It's retro.
I look like a homeless person with a dog trainer's hat on. Wes is dressed as a lesbian. And Thomas has come as a member of One Direction.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Yes.
You're wearing a chambray shirt and a gingham bow tie.
Yes.
My mother always told me you've got to look your best and
you're very well turned out.
Thank you. You are turned out. You look like you've ironed.
Yeah, I have. I did iron.
You do? You've got lines down that you've got to fold.
Yes, I've pleated.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love that, you know, he's the one that's made the effort.
Yeah.
Well, see, the thing is, Scott and I are moving in together soon.
It's true.
And I just want him to know how good I am around the house.
You've already got the room, Jasper. You don't need to get... He said, do you want me to clean those glasses? Well, I was in the kitchen. He said, I just want you to see how good I am at doing dishes. I was like, no, stop auditioning.
It'll last a month.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Because really, you know, you are going to be the only one doing the dishes in that house.
Pretty much. Yeah.
We're getting paper cups.
Yeah. Okay.
There'll be more podcast after this.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
Talk poofy to me.
Now, recently, last week on the Poofcast, Wes opened the can of Wes, and inside was offensive things. And we had a long chat about Trevor Ashley's show Tranny, which changed to Little Orphan Trashley. And we realised at the end of it, we should probably have gotten an opinion from Trevor.
Because he's not short of them, is he?
He's not short of an opinion. So Trevor joins us now. Hello, love. How's it going?
Hello, darlings. How are you all?
Well, we have in the studio Wes Snelling, Scott Brennan, and the gorgeous Thomas Jaspers is here as well.
Oh, hello, Tommy.
Hello, darling. How are you?
All right.
Yeah. Oh, it's frosty.
Oh, gosh.
We can smell the animosity from Perth.
Oh, my God.
So, Trevor, you've heard the episode.
I have, yes.
Were we completely out of line? I don't actually remember what happened because it was at the bottom
Neither
of the
do
second
I.
bottle.
Can you remind us?
I did find it interesting. I mean, look, for me, offence is such a strange concept because, I mean, obviously, a lot of the time in my shows, I do go out to specifically offend people.
Well, yes.
Well, a lot of the time in your life, you go out to.
and sometimes, Trevor, you don't even mean to.
I know.
The show is so offensive.
It's like your X-Men superpower.
But I have to say, I was really, really genuinely surprised about the tranny thing.
So was I.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to use these other things as an example, just because I have a lot of transsexual friends, obviously, because a lot of them are ex, you know, lay girls, performers, and, you know, that sort of thing. So I know a lot. And I've never heard of tranny being a dirty word within our community, as far as I knew.
Well, I always thought for myself that it was a term of, you know, I always thought tranny meant a transvestite and was
Well, look,
for
I mean, I think
queens.
That's the thing, though, it can. Mm. And this is where it all got a bit weird. So, like, I mean, I've been to a night in London called Tranny Shack.
Yeah.
I've, you know, in LA, they use hot tranny mess all the time.
Right.
I never thought that it was a problem. And in Sydney, you know, there are so many venues doing tranny bingo and tranny trivia.
Yeah.
Mm. All hosted by drag queens, I might add.
Yeah.
Only one that I know of that's actually hosted by a real transsexual.
Is it? And are they offended because there's digital radios now and no one uses trannies anymore?
Oh.
Sorry, I can't believe I just did that.
Wow. We use that joke at the show, don't worry. but the thing is that I always thought that it wasn't an issue, but apparently it would seem that within the transsexual community, who are much more, who are trying to be stealth, who are trying to, you know, live their lives
as normal, a woman now, or as a man,
as a woman in normal society, mm-hmm. a lot of them seem to have an issue with it because of the way that it's used in hate crimes, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, look, I understand all of that, but I don't, like, as you guys made the point last week, I wasn't calling the show Kill All Tranny.
No.
Anything like that.
Which, admittedly, no, it's, you know, that's a pretty kind of cool title.
You should call a show that.
Yeah, like a 1950s B film.
Wow. Kill All the Tranny.
Yes.
But it's like this whole, that whole thing really came out of the blue for me. And when I can't say it was 100% my decision to change the title, because if it was mine, I wouldn't have.
So there was some pressure on you, obviously, from...
There was, because people complained to the Anti-Discrimination Board.
Yeah,
right.
And now
the Anti-Discrimination Board did, however, say to these complainers, well, we can't... There's nothing we can do about using the word, because it has to be used within a context.
Yeah.
Mm.
And... the context isn't kill all the trannies.
No.
The context is tranny, that's it. Yeah. And then, you know, we'd have to see the show to know whether it was, you know, it would have to incite violence or, you know, blah, 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 for them to call it.
And I mean, you had a post-operative tranny in the show. Rhonda Birchmore was
there. Yeah.
Well, that was the other thing that, like, in the blurb, we had this gag where I said, and the orphanage is run by the evil Miss Trannigan, who's just been listed on the sex offender registry. I thought that was hilarious. Because I just thought, oh, this horrible old woman who's running the place is, you know, molesting people as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it was done as a gag, but then what happened was people started, like, The synopsis they wrote for the petition to stop the show was hilarious. Like, they said, a 10-year-old transsexual is abused by her transsexual caregiver, that was Miss Trannigan's role, and is then forced to perform acts for an older gentleman for cash.
Right.
How
and close? That was what they wrote.
That is the plot of Annie, though, isn't it?
Not... I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you wanted to rewrite the plot of Annie, you could make it sound as dubious as that, too.
Yes.
Like, I mean, honestly, you could say she's abused by her alcoholic caregiver and is sent to the mansion of an older, bald gentleman where she's, you know... I mean, it sounds terrible if you say it like that, but everyone knows that Annie's fine. So I think that's where a lot of it came to be a problem, basically.
See, that worries me because, like, you know, bad taste theatre or bad taste entertainment is one of the staples of our community.
Yeah.
Like, that
yes.
is one of the things Absolutely. We love is, you know, going to see something that is so outrageous and you just go, how can someone possibly put this on? And then you go, oh, well, there it is.
Yeah. But that's the thing, that whole bad taste stuff. It's done intentionally, as you say, intentionally to be bad taste. It's not like you're just some guy from the suburbs doing a show about trannies and, oh, how funny are trannies, ha, ha,
yeah, exactly.
ha, ha. Like, I think that's the context that, you know, that we're looking for.
Yeah.
And look, in the end, the funny thing is, and like this is how we'd always intended it to be, and when all this happened, we hadn't even written the script, I might add. Like, we had a synopsis. I mean, I don't write the script for these sort of shows until a few weeks before because, you know, you want it to be as current and...
Yeah, you want topical
and
jokes.
And topical also, and we're all lazy. So we do the same thing.
Holding off on that, and Phil and I are sitting there going, this is ridiculous. So, but I mean, we had always intended that the transsexual character of my character, she's a heroine. So of course we're not going to make fun of her too much. I mean, we made more fat jokes about me than we
did. Well, I'm offended by that, Trevor. As a fat man, I'm disgusted by your fat jokes.
Where do we draw the line now? I mean, yes. It gets so stupid. And I really felt, I think the thing that was the most unnecessary, though, was the death threats and the...
Oh, wow.
No.
And that sort of stuff that I received from the transsexual community. And I thought that was disgusting.
Can you imagine?
And whether or not you agreed with my... You know, with the show. I mean, I still think it's fucking hilarious.
Yes.
I think that poster was so genius and so funny, if I do say that myself. But it was, you know, it was hysterical. Like, I mean, you knew exactly what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's say I just made the character a transvestite, then could I say it was tranny? Like, I mean, come on.
Can you imagine actually being assassinated by a tranny, though?
Oh, my God.
Imagine the front page of the Herald Sun.
No,
Jesus.
You know, it would never happen because they'd have to have a committee to get together to decide what kind of gun we're going to use because they all look too much like penises and you've rejected our penises.
I thought it might have been like a stiletto to the back of their head.
Stiletto to the back of the head. No,
had,
no, we're
like,
trying to integrate.
They had plainclothes security in on my opening night because they were expecting that some of these, because they threatened to, that they'd be picketing or buy tickets to the show and then come and, like,
it's Trevor. If they buy a ticket, that's fine.
Yeah. Trevor, that's not the first time you've had security in your opening, though, is it?
No.
Oh my god!
But it's amazing though that you know that they were offended by this word, and that's what offense kind of comes to now.
Well,
you know, if you're offended, then you send someone death threats. You threaten to, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Which is offensive, which is more offensive
absolutely
than the word.
Yeah, but like, also, like, what happened, you know, nothing happens when you're offended. Like, you just get upset. Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, it comes down to an opinion
thing.
Oh,
well.
So that doesn't mean...
And the thing that's a bit scary at the moment is they're re-looking at the Discrimination Act, and one of the words that has actually gone into it in the new draft is offence.
Right.
And I'm really concerned about that.
Because you can take offence at anything, really.
Yeah.
That's,
exactly.
You know,
and it can mean that people could basically take you to tribunals or sue you due to the fact that you offended them.
Yeah.
And I just don't agree with that because I think that, sure, you can be offended and that's fine, but people just get offended so easily these days.
Yes.
And because all of these people can be anonymous and can hide behind their anonymous and, you know, avatars on Facebook and Twitter and, you know.
I think we need to take it back. As queens, we are all prone to hysteria.
I'm offended by that term. Well, I'm offended at you being offended, Wes.
But because we're all prone to hysteria, right? So what we need to do is take offence at things that are ordinary. We need to go, oh, my God, I'm totally offended by Tracy Grimshaw's dress.
Oh, it makes
her look like a man. She needs to be taken off the television. She's discriminating my eyeballs.
Yes.
Like, we could turn it the other way around.
Yeah.
Like, let's complain about things that are absolutely pointless.
We like do. Tracy Grimshaw.
That's all we do. No, but let's make it a thing.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
Let's start sending death threats. If they don't change the stylist at Channel 9 and do something about Tracy Grimshaw's outfits, I am gonna go crazy. I'm bombing the joint.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear. Well, Trevor, thank you so much for shining some light on our issue. We're hoping to chat to a tranny. A transgendered person.
Yes.
As well, but, you know, they're incredibly shy.
Yes.
Look, there were so many who ended up coming to the show and they all roared and they thought it was so funny. And, you know, I mean, I do say some pretty ridiculous things about transsexuals as well, but you know, I don't, they're just one in a long list of people I offend from beginning to end in the show.
Say, they're not your only target. Yeah.
I'm not sort of targeting one particular group.
Yeah, no. You're being fair about it.
Yeah, you're being fair. You're being
offending everyone.
Equal opportunity offensive. Oh, thank you so much, darling. Big air kisses.
See you soon.
And thanks, we will, I'm sure you'll be doing a show whenever this thing is released, and we'll pop it on the website. Because you're always doing a show, pretty much, aren't you?
I'm always doing a show somewhere.
Yeah. Thanks, honey.
Bye, darling. I'm coming home, 5 in the morning. Something's
going on. Can I smell your dick? Talk poofy to me. All right, it's time for the Poofcast Poofstery, our favourite segment where Mother Horan tells us all sorts of shit we didn't know.
Actually, some of it's shit we already knew, but we just nod politely.
Well, see, that's why we've got Thomas Jaspers in here.
Oh, right, because he knows nothing.
It's so nice coming in here. It's like going to my grandparents' place and hearing stories about the war.
From when you couldn't hold hands in public.
Oh, yes. Well, hello, everyone. Hello. Hello.
So, Toby's not here. We have locked him out again.
Yep.
Yeah. For, well, you know. It's
well, he'll be back soon. You've just got to give me the nod and say, go get the gimp.
And Wes isn't here because, well, he keeps asking stupid questions. Yeah. Like, what?
What? What's air made of?
Do I like ponies?
Yes, yes, you do.
So, Mother Horror, what have you got for us this week?
I kind of just been looking over recently and thinking I should answer some essential questions. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of history on the very sort of cul-de-sacs of gay history.
All of the Ramsey Streets.
All of the Ramsey Streets. So today I'd like to talk about why pink.
Oh, I love her.
Why? Yeah. Not the artist with the annoying upside down exclamation mark instead of an I. Right. God, don't know why that gets me, but it just does. Bad punctuation. No. And Mr. President wasn't listening. Why is pink the gay colour?
Right.
Which is a very, it's kind of a weird one. And basically, in a word, thank you, Nazis.
Oh, it's the war.
Is it talking of the war?
You're right. It is the war.
We can call my grandfather. I think he was issuing the the pink triangle.
Oh, are you from one of those families?
So your birth was what's known as karma.
I am actually the descendant of an illegal immigrant.
Oh.
Not sure why we illegally immigrated, but it was shortly after World War II. So,
okay. Right.
Look, I remember because I'm older. The when the wall came down in the
89,
the flood of all of a sudden these East German men who were very rich and very good looking flooding into gay scenes all around the world, not really explaining where they'd come from.
Right.
It was a very interesting time.
Oh,
anyway, that's another
story.
They
had a lot of gold.
And Olaf, if you're out there, hi.
Hail.
Anyway, so why is pink the gay colour?
Mm-hmm.
So basically there's a couple of parts to the story. First of all, it really does come from the gay liberation adoption in the early 70s of the Pink Triangle. Now, the Pink Triangle, when Hitler put all of those gays into concentration camps.
Well, all of the undesirables.
Well, 60,000 men. I don't know how many lesbians, but 60,000 men were incarcerated in concentration camps.
Wow.
Thing, and they had to wear, instead of the Jews had to wear a yellow star, and gays had to wear a pink triangle.
What did the gypsies wear?
There was a red square or something?
Yeah.
Or maybe that was political prisoners. Like they,
there was a whole code.
Yeah. It's like the hanky code.
Yeah. What are you in for? I'm a Jew. What are you in for? I'm a Jew poofter.
I'm collecting all the badges.
One day my children shall love Barbara Streisand.
So basically, they that was the code, and it was the triangle was the tip pointing up.
Yeah.
And when the gay liberation thing adopted it, it was the tip pointing down. They inverted it.
Ah.
And this is probably because the stories of the men who would be incarcerated in concentration camps during the sort of late 60s, all these stories started coming out. And because also, too, because of these 60,000 men, no one quite knows how many died. A lot of them, because when Germany was liberated and became East and West Germany, the penal codes still made being gay a felon up until the 60s. Right. So a lot of these men, and this is one of the great untold stories about these guys, is that they went from concentration camps into internment camps and then into prison. There were gays who were incarcerated for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And only in the late 50s, early 60s, where they kind of went, oh, okay. So these guys, you know, and by these...
Unlike the Jews, they didn't get out.
Yeah.
They didn't...
They still remain
liberated.
Yeah, yeah, and there's some amazing stories. And during the 60s, these stories started to come out. And one of the books was called The Men of the Pink Triangle. And gay liberationists kind of took this up as potential. And so that's where the pink triangle, they inverted it and it became pink. Now, why pink in the first place?
Yes.
This is already quite an interesting thing because we think of blue as boys and pink as girls.
Yes.
Now, this was never in place until kind of earliest 20th century.
Oh,
when you were kids in the 19th century and before that, kids were always dressed in white. Because you basically, you want to say, this is a child, this is not an adult.
Yeah.
The idea of gender in kids was kind of quite, you know, wobbly. And but in this, various traditions start colliding. For example, boys, pale blue is always a boy's colour because it comes from the Catholic tradition, especially in Spain and France, of dedicating the your newborn son to the Virgin Mary.
Right.
And that's where blue is a boy's colour.
Yeah,
comes
that was
from.
Her colour.
But pink as a girl's colour, no one quite knows where that comes from. Probably because it just contrasts. The boys get to choose the first colour, the girl's the thing.
Yes.
But one of the reasons why the Nazis chose pink was that red, internationally, in many cultures, considered the colour of power.
Right.
So, like, for definitely in China. Yeah. Auspicious red colour, blah, 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 blah. So consequently, pink is the unpowerful.
It's the watered-down version of red. Yeah.
And also that's why girls, pink is associated with girls so often. Because essentially, in many, many cultures, pink is the non-powerful colour.
Wow.
Which is, I find, the whole associated breast cancer awareness and all that kind of thing. There's a lot of semiotic minefields there, which we won't go into. But it's a really interesting thing that so... Early on in the 50s, when pink and blue were not really sort of set too much in thing, in the early 50s, American retailers decided, right, we're going to start rolling out this huge different range of clothing. Because boys and girls before World War One pretty much wore dresses and the same clothes and all that kind of thing. So American retailers, the Walmarts of this world, decided, right, blue and pink. Boys and girls, done.
Right.
And that's actually essentially where kids wear and kids' gender descriptions of colour come from.
And that's why we like pink, because we like girls'
that's
things.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So so basically, so we have Walmart and the Nazis.
To thank.
To thank for pink and the pink triangle.
And Thomas Jasper's family.
Yeah.
So,
for putting us all in there in the first place.
Yeah.
So there we are. So there, that is why we are pink. Also, too, it's something that you don't see very often.
Yeah.
I love photos of the really early Pride marches. And you see these guys in pink T-shirts and and the huge handlebar moustache. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It really is not...
Well, because pink was always, you know, when I was a kid, it was the sissy colour.
Yeah.
You would never wear pink.
Yeah. Girl.
And then in the, like, the 80s, you know, pastels became all the rage.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, and you started, men can wear pink.
And you started to get men's business shirts in pink.
Yes.
Which was a very 80s thing.
I think
thing.
It was called salmon.
Salmon. Ooh.
Everyone was dressed like the Jupiter's Casino.
The carpet.
That and teal.
Oh, teal.
Don't give me
salmon and teal.
Why?
I love their records. Salmon and teal.
Didn't they do Denim and Lace?
That was the original title for Ebony and Ivory.
Salmon and teal. Salmon and teal. Why isn't there an AFL club that has salmon and teal? The Poof de Land Possums. Yes.
It's almost black caviar, but not.
Anyway. It's really interesting, though, is the World War II, the gay side of it from the death camps, yeah. Because I remember going to a death camp and seeing they had like this big
club. Oh, fuck. Family reunion?
Yeah.
You want to see where Grandpa worked?
Grandpa Adolf's birthday. Pop back and visit the family.
But is Jasper's short for Schickel Gruber?
Because I remember going to a death camp. It's not often you get to say that, is it? Anyway, go on, please.
Well, there was this plaque there, and it was a big pink triangle in memory of all the gays and lesbians and bisexual transgender people that had been killed there. And it was interesting because I hadn't before that thought of that because we don't have the generations of people passing down the stories.
No.
Yeah. Whereas the Jewish community, because your child is also Jewish, that sort of gets passed down. Yeah. So, it's a really interesting thing to hear that in only like 60 years, we sort of almost forget these horrible stories.
Yes.
Our culture travels diagonally.
Yeah. And it's hard to listen to your ancestors when they're pissed at the back of the
head. And they've got that, and they're trying to cop a field.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've just given you half a bottle of Amyl.
Oh, God.
Stop calling me your aunt.
We have elder issues. We really do.
That's really a terrifying thought that one day that, like, all of the Poofcasts are going to be in some fucking gay and lesbian archive. And in 200 years, someone's going to be listening back to this going, God, was that entertainment?
No wonder they couldn't get equal rights.
Some sneery child with an asymmetrical hairdo.
Yeah.
If you're listening now, piss off.
Yeah. Hello from the distant past. It's terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're listening to this, I'm dead.
Yes.
Or just very sleepy. Yes.
I am talking of death camps.
It's such a cheery topic,
isn't it?
And in the the closest death camp that was closest to a big population centre was in Kiev in the Ukraine, and I went to the site of this and to see if there was, you know, because I'd never been to one, and it's now a sports field.
Wow.
And so it was odd to, and on the actual site, they just bulldozed it in that pragmatic Ukrainian way. They just bulldozed it, put up some trees and some soccer posts.
Nothing happened.
Nothing to see here.
As I was buying a coffee from the kiosk on the site of these dead people, I noticed that in a clump of bushes, there was a series of younger gentlemen. And I went,
oh, wow.
This is a cruising area and it's on the site of a death camp.
Yeah.
That's really putting it up the Nazis.
Yeah.
2 million people died on the spot. And we're
desecrating it with fellatio.
I'm not too sure how I felt about that. I really didn't.
I don't think Pufta should be allowed to go to Auschwitz and places like that.
Why?
Because you know what it'll be like. They'll be walking in and going, oh, my God, let's do Schindler's List the musical here.
Oh,
I'll be Liam Neeson. And Jews, and Jews, and Jews, you're going to love me. Oh. I'm selling that to Trevor.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I really just did that.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mother Horan. Let's pretend none of that ever happened.
Tremendous. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Oh, that was the Poofcast.
There it was.
Thanks for coming, everyone. It's never come here again.
Yeah. Let's just forget that whole thing just happened.
Oh, my God. Right? It's like the anchovy joke on Bruce and Phil. It kills me.
I tuned out about 28 minutes ago.
That's the longest you've ever participated.
Don't care what you say, just talk to me.
Have you seen the film clip for The Cure, Why Can't I Be You?
Mm.
And they, you know, they go, why can't I be you? And there's like, he's in the furry bear outfit.
Yep.
And does why. And there's someone in a bee costume for bee.
Ah, yes.
And you, I think, is a sheep. Yeah. And can't is a big sideways pair of lips.
Right. Wow.
Oh, and there's an I for I.
Right. Ah, yes. Yeah.
Why can't I be you?
Wow.
Yeah. I only noticed that when I was like in my 30s. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
This film has been around since I was a kid. Also, I'm so excited by the Pointer Sisters.
Yeah.
One of them gets out of the bath and wraps her tail around it the wrong way around. And there's full bush.
Oh, really?
With bubbles hanging off it. I'm like, how has this been in this film clip the entire time and no one's gone, oh, you can see her muff
you
there.
You can see there's full bush.
Really?
Pointer sister bush.
Wow. You can see her pointer.
Yeah, you can see where to put your pointer at least.
Oh, my God.
In the sister.
Maybe because, you know, VHS was just so shit that actually pausing it, nobody could notice.
That's one of the things. I've been watching Star Trek on Blu-ray, like the old 60s ones, because they were made on film, but they were broadcast in 480 lines in like, you know, little tiny televisions. So no one, you know, they didn't have to do that much, you know, work to hide any of the flaws.
Yeah.
But watching it on Blu-ray where everything is crystal clear on my gigantic television, you can see the ridiculous eyeshadow.
On George Takei.
On everyone. And Shatner's, like, fake hair. Like, you can see where it's glued down. It's hilarious.
Well, in 60s TV, this is a technical point, but eyeshadow is really important because of the really strong overhead lighting.
Yeah.
You've got a shadow down here. So often you would lighten people's eyes so the shadows didn't look so bad.
Right.
Because when you've got three camera, because it was shot as a three camera.
So yeah.
When you've got three camera stuff, you've got to have, when people move too much, they're moving from these enormous pools of really strong overhead light. Like it would take an actual power station to run these lights. They're incredibly big and incredibly large. So consequently, the shadows on people's faces was a nightmare.
Because they'd move from one spot to another.
Yeah. So in particular, if you've got deeply set eyes, they would put lots and lots of white here. And,
the other thing is Chekhov's ridiculous wigs, because he's meant to be like one of the Beatles. But he goes from being kind of Sandra Dee to Liza Minnelli to Susan Hayward.
To Marge Simpson.
Like, it's like, you just go, oh, who's Chekhov come as this week?
Oh, wow. Talk Puffy to me.